God, Lord, we are so blessed to be able to come into this sanctuary on this precious day of Sabbath. Lord, we invite your spirit. We invite, Lord, the angels. We invite all our visitors, Lord, to come and worship you on this blessed day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us recite and or read the fourth commandment, Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and praise God from whom all blessings flow.
You may be seated in God's house. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Come on, happy Sabbath, everybody. Are you glad to be in God's house just one more time? For this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. For there is no God like our God. Amen. He's done it before, and I declare to you today that he will do it again. I'm so excited to be in God's house and to be able to worship him on this beautiful Sabbath morning. I want to take this opportunity to welcome each and every one of you in God's house this morning. You who are viewing with us online, we praise God for you. As always, we know in this digital age that we can click a button and be somewhere else, but you have made a conscious decision to be with us today. So we just ask if you would be a digital apostle and go ahead and share this message, share this link to your family and your friends. Let them know that Top is in the house. And for those of you who are viewing with us in the house, we praise God for you, because we know if your bed is like my bed, it did not want to let me go this morning. But you pressed your way out. You shook those covers. You tossed those pillows, and you are here today. And we pray. Come on, let's put our hands together for you who are in the house today. We praise God for you. We're in a new month, the month of May. This time, no time is flying. Amen. Do we have any month babies in the house? Anyone celebrate? Amen. Sister Lewis, she was waiting on that. She was halfway. Amen. We celebrate with you. We have Sister Lewis who's celebrating a birthday this month. Any other? Sister Mary. Wednesday. Okay, 64. Praise God. Well, you look 46. Come on, somebody. Amen. We praise God for you, Sister Mary. Any other May birthday babies in the house? Brother Joseph. Amen. All the way to my right. We praise God for you. You don't have to give it, but we praise God for you. Now, if I could play the keys and give you a break on this birthday month, I would do that, but you do not want me over there today. So we're going to ask you birthday babies, except for you, Brother Price, unless you can stand and play at the same time. I'm sure you can. But we ask all of our May babies to stand. We want to just sing you happy birthday. Is that all right?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. More.
Amen. Praise God. We celebrate you. Any anniversaries? Any, I don't want to look. Any happy marriage? There we go. All the way in the back, Elder Carol. I'm going to put you on the spot, Elder. How many days? Okay. How many months? You can tell me a year. Okay. Give me the years, Doc. Give me the years. 41 years. Amen. Well, we praise God for you for celebrating 41 years of marriage, and you're still sitting next to your beautiful bride. That's a good thing. You're not sitting on opposite sides of the sanctuary. That's a good thing. We've seen that done before. Let me stay in my lane. Help me, Lord. But we praise God for you for 41 years, and we celebrate each and every one of you in here today. Just a couple of reminders or announcements. I'm going to get out of your way. We want to, this past Wednesday, we had our prayer meeting. We're going to have to do a re-loop, a circle back around. I jumped over the latter part of chapter 6. And that's a very important chapter. And so for those of you who have been following us on Wednesday night at our prayer meeting, that power hour, we ask if you can revisit chapter 6, amen, of our last days event series that we're doing. We jumped over that in my haste and excitement to get to the end, and prayerfully Jesus will be here. But we will circle back around to chapter 6 on this coming Wednesday and finish that part up. So I ask that you will study that. Also, we want to encourage each and every one of you as we are doing a slight shift with our tithe and offering as it relates to how we are giving. We want to encourage you to make use of our Advent Giving app. As it was mentioned in our business meeting, this will help the Treasury Department do their job with less stress. There is a lot that goes into when we deal with the Cash App for those of you who are in the house. And even for you who are online, we encourage you to make that shift as well. But we know and we understand that sometimes change can be a little challenging. I have to be transparent and honest with you this morning. When the treasurer called me and shared with me about how effective it would make her position, I felt some kind of way because that meant I had to. we already had the conversation, but I understood. Did I not? Am I? Thank you. That's my treasurer. Help me, Lord. And I understood her position, and so I too made the shift to Advent giving, and so I want to encourage us Advent. They have an app. They do have an app. Matter of fact, I have the app on my phone. So if you want to download the Adventist Giving app, you can, and then look for Sister.
Yes.
You know, you have, yeah.
Download the app and then look for Tabernacle Praise, which is 1721
Parker Road. There you go. Easy peasy. Easy peasy. I've done it, so I'm encouraging you to follow suit if, you know, that will make our treasury department, amen. You see, she did the prayer. Please, Jesus. Amen. So we've had that conversation, so we encourage you to make that shift. Also, we just want to remind you to continue to reach out to our family and friends. You look around and see someone that's not here that you know should be here. We encourage you to be intentional about reaching out to our fellow brothers and sisters. At this time, if you could just bow your heads with me as we offer up a word of prayer. Loving Lord, our Father and God, again, we are so thankful, blessed, honored, and privileged for what you've done, what you're doing, and what you are about to do. You are truly an amazing God. Without you, we're hopelessly lost, but with you, we're more than conquerors. And so we say, Lord, thank you for another Sabbath. Thank you for loving us and keeping us in the midst of it all. Now, as we spend the rest of this day with you, lead us, guide us, and have it, that we may know that you are the true and living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Happy Sabbath.
This is a special Sabbath to commemorate those words that God is able. You know that saying that says, beside every good man, there is a good woman. You know, that's more than a saying in this church. Amen. So we want to recognize the First Lady of Tabernacle of Praise today. Amen. The secret sauce behind the pastor. She is his counselor. She is his confidant, the wind beneath his wings. She's the one that consoles him after those rough board meetings, after those counseling sessions. And so we want to recognize the First Lady today, because a lot of times we see the pastor, but we don't know the importance of the First Lady. Amen. And so we just want to thank the First Lady for just being a woman of God. Amen. Amen. And my First Lady, who has put this whole day together, I want to thank her, and she has some words.
We are just so blessed to have such a beautiful, honorable First Lady to lead out in our church. And we know that it's not an easy task to be the First Lady. You have many hats that you have to wear, but you wear them well. And we want to just thank you for your diligence, for your love for us as a church. There have been many times that our family has went through heartaches and stress and trials and tribulations, and the pastor and the First Lady have been there like family to us. And I know to many of you they've been there also. So we just want to thank you and want to let you know that we love you. We appreciate the First Lady that you are in our midst. And I just want to invite everyone who has brought gifts for the First Lady, you can come up right now. And if anybody would like to say something, we have a few minutes. You can take the mic. Anybody would like to say anything?
The deacons, I see the deacons are coming up. Yeah, deacons. Read.
Sister Fields, this is from all the deacons that's here. We really appreciate you. We know behind a good man, there's always a better woman. A couple of us are not here, but they still signed the card and everything. Where's Deacon Radley at? Where are you, D? Come on, D. So I say we love you, we appreciate you and your family. And thank you very much. Oh, here's a card.
Pastor P, I told you could trust us.
Okay. All right. There you go.
Thank you so much.
There you go. All right. Is there anybody else? Oh, okay.
Sister Fields and I went to grade school together, and she is such a gem. She's a phenomenal woman, and I just want to say thank you for your kindness, your love, and your understanding.
Sister Fields, I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you. We know we've had our little talks about certain things, our conversations, and I really, really, really appreciate you. Thank you so much. Love you.
Okay. Well, I want to say first, thank you for being a friend. And you are so lovely and stuff, you know, along with your husband, you know, because he gets a little jealous if you don't, you know, mention him. But like I said, you know what, you all are a beautiful couple, and I like, you know, the way you all operate. And I just want to say, you know, you're quiet, you're peaceful, but then you still got that inner glow, so you all right.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Blessings, blessings. Anybody else have anything they'd like to say?
I just want to thank Sister Melody for being the current kind woman that she is. Her and the pastor has invited me into their home on numerous occasions. And she's just such a good woman. And I believe, you know, as far as a brilliant woman. And she's just so current and everything. And the main most thing that I fell in love with is her food. So I just want to let that be known. All right.
Sister Fields, I'm blessed to be at this church. I love it. You've been a very sweet person, you and the pastor both. And I like coming to this church. It means a lot to me. God bless you and the pastor.
Thank you, everyone. As the choir comes back up, I
have to have the mic. I just thank everybody for your love, your kindness, for always being so sweet to our family, for keeping us in your prayers. We know that your prayers are being answered and that we feel them. We know when you are praying hard for us because we, you know, we just feel the power through what God is able to do through prayer. And I thank you guys. You don't know how much this meant for you guys to honor me this week. It's been a rough last month or so, but God has been so good. And I just thank God for covering me and putting me in this place that I may receive the love and the kindness that you all share. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
My God is able. He can fix it. He can keep you in the midst of it all. As we transition to our prayer time, it's a beautiful thing to know that we serve a God that can fix it, that can heal you, that can take our brokenness and make us into something that other people lose their mind. Can't believe that you've been through what you've been through. But we serve a God that is able to do all those things. And I'm going to be honest with you. I am so glad that he didn't step over me, but he stopped, helped me up, picked me up, turned my life around, placed my feet on solid ground, food on my table, clothes on my back. And I thank God that I don't look like what I've been through. It's the kind of God we serve. Why wouldn't you want to give him praise? Why not give him glory? Why not go to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the world in which we live in with all the confusion and all the madness? It's a beautiful thing to know that we can turn to someone, and not just anyone, but someone that has the ability and the power to make the crooked roads straight, the one that is able to clean us and get us in that right space. I'm so glad that he laid his life down that I may have life and have it more abundantly. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you're experiencing this morning, but what I do know, that whatever you're going through, because the reality is we're all going through something. You know that old saying, if you're not going through it, you're coming out of it. Or you very well may already be in it. But whichever way that you are, I want you to know that there is a God that is able to pull you out, that is able to sustain you if you're in it, and that will be a comforter if you have to go in. So I don't know who you are. If you want to draw close to the altar, we encourage you to come close to the altar as we go before the Lord in prayer, as we remember our sick and shut in, as we remember Sister Elaine, remember Sister Bev, as we remember those that have pressed their way out this morning, who body is still racking with pain, but yet you made a conscious decision to press anyhow. And so if you choose to come close to the altar, we encourage you to come at this time. We also want to remember those who are online, those that are family and friends who have lost loved ones. We encourage you to continue to keep them lifted up in prayer. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, again, we're so thankful to be able to open up our mouths and to bless your holy name. We do recognize, Father, that it's not by power nor by might, but by your spirit, saith the Lord, that we're able to even stand here today. We thank you for our last night lying down, our early morning rising. We thank you for keeping us in the midst of a crazy and mixed up world. You are truly an amazing God. So as we come, Father, with bowed heads and humble hearts, we are asking that you will cover each and every one of us in this space today. Those who are in their seats, those who have chosen to come close, Father, you know what we need before we're even in need of it. So we're asking you, God, to just have your way. We give you permission to do what you do, God, creating us a clean heart, renew the right spirit within us, that wherever we go or whatever we do, your name will be glorified. We want to remember Sister Bev this morning and Sister Elaine, who are on their bed of affliction. Pray your covering over them. We ask that you will watch them, guide them, direct them in the way that they should go. Be with the Lewis family. We ask that you will cover them. Be with our birthday babies in the month of May. We ask your sustaining power over them. Thank you that we were able to see yet another birthday month. We ask you to cover and keep them, oh God. Remember our church in prayer, Father. Remember our tabernacle of praise. Remember the district with Lighthouse. We ask your covering, oh God. You know what's going on in this conference and what's going on in this land. So we just pray, oh God, that you will let your presence be made known throughout. Oh, what a privilege it is. Brothers and sisters are able to come and dwell in the beauty of holiness with you, Christ, not I, but it is Christ that dwells. So we thank you, Father, and we bless you and we honor you this morning. So do what you do. Let us not leave this sanctuary the same way we came, but let us leave with a newfound love for the things of God. Be with the Lewis family, oh God. Be with Sister Karen and Brother Andre. We pray your covering over them, oh God, as she spent time with her sister, oh God, who was battling health challenges. Oh Father, we pray for even the prayer focus, oh God, throughout our conference. We ask you to do what you do, God. And again, God, let us not leave this space this day without acknowledging you as our Lord and Savior and accepting you as our King and Kings. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the people of God say amen and amen again.
Democracy, and we have a person who has made a decision to do whatever they were big enough, bad enough, tough enough to do with 91 charges in total all across America. But this is only the beginning. And there are people out there who are not aware, who don't understand, who don't realize that the ability to choose which church you're gonna go to, may even come down to, you know, who can marry who. You know, it used to be like that. There was a law, black people couldn't marry white people, right? I mean, it's just a step away, a stone throw away. But they need to know that there's somebody who believes in God. And that in all of the chaos that's going on, God is in control. No matter how many indictments, no matter how many court cases that people squeeze out of, get away from, the judges make decisions that everybody know ain't right. You know, I'm not even an attorney. So, but we need to say to the people out there, we need to know that everybody know that God is good
all the time.
That all the time,
God is good.
He is merciful and good. And nobody, not one person, will continue on in evil and think they will not be repaid. Not one person. But you know, we're involved in this great controversy between good and evil. And unfortunately, a war costs money. We're in a war. And it costs. So whether we're going to do backpacks to just let somebody, some child who may be getting abused every day, maybe bullied at school, somebody is caring about them even when they don't know it. When I think about the 600 backpacks already filled, already done, not a drain on the church. Church don't have to work super hard to get it done. It's done. There's 600 blessings downstairs waiting on somebody. So we're asking every person, I'm not a crisis-oriented human being. You know, I lived like that as a kid. I'm not trying to be that way. I like to look ahead and see. And I think the Bible says, I can't find it really, but it's a Bible scripture I picked up. A wise man sees a problem and changes his way. A fool carries on. So now we know next year we're going to do Backpack Sabbath. We already know that, right? We know that in September We're going to have the suicide prevention conference. We know that. We know that in December, there's going to be a concert. We're inviting everybody in the community. The whole world can come. We know that. We know that in July, there's going to be a vacation Bible school. And all of these things require time, talent, tempo, and treasure. Everybody need to be in on the Joy Fest. It ain't nothing but a Joy Fest. Can you imagine? I'm going to just go down there and stand amongst those blessings, the 600 of them, and just maybe walk out with a few of them attached to me on my back some kind of way. Not the backpacks, just the blessings that they are being for other people. It is our job to be in the blessing business. Don't miss it, you guys. I'm enjoying the joy. Don't y'all miss it. We're having a beautiful dinner downstairs. If you didn't bring anything, well, you missed an opportunity to be a blessing. And you missed an opportunity to bless. I like to believe that every time I cook my dish, I get a little bit better. Every time. I believe that. So I want to say to every person here, you have an opportunity to improve your life. We improve our lives by improving other people's lives. No one lives in a blanket by themselves. So I'm going to say this to all of us today. Please get involved. Do your part. Enjoy your life. Jesus is coming soon. Don't get locked out on the blessing. Can we have the deacons come forward? Church say, amen, amen. Amen.
Anybody looked in the mirror this morning? Anybody looked in the mirror this morning? What did you see? I looked in the mirror this morning. I saw a miracle. Amen. I should have been dead. Sleeping in my grave. I was messed up. I was dirty. You're looking at a miracle. We praise God for our praise team this morning. I know, Minister, you have to make a move. We praise God for you. We are praying for you. Amen. Can we put our hands together one more time for our praise team this morning? Amen. We're going to get into our word today. We praise God for that blessed song. Amen. You looking at a miracle. If you can turn with me in your Bibles. Amen. For our scripture reading, if we can put that on the screen. Our scripture found in the book of Exodus. When you have it, please stand with me in honor of the reading of the word of God. Exodus chapter 3. We'll start with verse 2. Amen. Let's read this together. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." That's it right there. We'll stop right there. As we consider our thought for today, you are called to keep moving. You are called to keep moving. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so thankful that you called us. And we ask, oh God, that you would give us strength to keep moving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated in the presence of an amazing God. God is truly good. And all the time, God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. Amen. This is a familiar passage to most, the story of the life of Moses, this iconic Bible character. You have heard of his story. For the most part, some of us, when we were younger, you're familiar with the story of Moses as a babe. But I would like for us to look at Moses, the latter part, as we look at the life of Moses, which is divided into 3 40-year periods. The first 40 years of Moses' life, the first 40 years stretch from his infancy in Pharaoh's palace in Egypt. For 40 years, Moses spent time in the palace. And then another 40 years, we see another 40 years stretch starts when Moses leaves Egypt and ends up in the desert in Midian. And then the latter 40-year period of, or the stretch starts when Moses leaves Midian and ends up in the wilderness as the leader of the children of Israel. And so what we want to do this morning is take a look at the latter 40 of Moses' life when God began to call Moses. With Moses, this man... this man who didn't know for a long time his purpose. For a long time, Moses had identity crisis, didn't know where he came from, trying to figure it all out, trying to understand his origin. What's my purpose? Why am I even here? Why? Did you wake me up this morning? What's going on? My life is so confusing right now. And And it wasn't until Moses received that call from God, that call that Moses answered, the call that some of us, if not many of us, have ran from or are still running from, the calling that God has placed on your life, the call to be a part of the family, a call to do ministry, a call that God has stretched forth out over your life, that for whatever reason, that's between you and God. I like to try to stay in my lane. But I understand that God calls every last one of us. I believe, I would like to believe. I don't want to be just one that believes all kind of wind and doctrine, but I would venture out on the ledge and would like to believe that every last one of you under the sound of my voice, that God has a purpose and a plan for, that God has something specific that he wants you to do. And if the truth be told, and if you be honest with yourself, you don't have to be honest with me. I don't have a heaven or a hell. I barely got three nickels to rub together. But if you will be honest with yourself, you know whether or not you are walking in the purpose, the plan that God has laid upon you. I know I'm talking. I know I'm saying it. We know how I know, because I don't stand here preaching stuff that just come through my head. I speak life experiences, and God has taken me through some things where I too had to learn to stop and let God be God in my life. Put aside my selfish ways, put aside my issues, put aside my own personal beliefs and what I think it ought to be and how I think it should go, and stop and trust God. Because the reality is, I know I'm saying something. I see your looks. I'm looking at your faces, and I'm just being truthful, transparent with you this morning, that this thing is wrapping up, and we have played tic-tac-toe too long, and it's time for us to be about our Father's business. And Moses had come to a juncture in his life where he was once confused. He didn't know who he was. He didn't know how he got to be where he was at, realizing that he was a Hebrew living with the Egyptians. Understanding that there's something that kind of takes me back to my childhood days when I was in the third or fourth grade, and we used to look at electric companies. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just gonna need you to trust me on this. And we would look at electric company, and they would teach us about one of these things don't belong here. And that Moses had that identity where he said, I know I don't belong here, but why am I here? What's going on? And Moses had to struggle with that. And now we find Moses, that latter 40 year of Moses' life, that latter year, that 40 years that Moses, after he spent time in Egypt, spent time in Midian, now God takes him on this quest where now Moses finds himself at a mountain after he's taken sheep that don't even belong to him, the prince of the palace, living in the palace, living in a wonderful place. And now Moses have nothing. Moses finds himself at this burning bush. For 40 years, Moses lives as an ambiguous shepherd in the desert of Midian. Moses, who once lived a life of plush, a life of plenty in a palace, now he's living. Now his world is turned upside down. Now he's just not adding up. How did I get here? How did I get from living a life of plenty and having folk at my beckoning call and doing what I say do, and now I'm out here with sheep. Now I'm out here with sheep. God is doing some things. God is paving the way. God is setting some things up. If I can put a pen right there to help somebody right there, to let you know, even in the midst of the confusion, even in the midst of the tears, even in the midst of the confusion, even in the midst of those lonely moments, God is working some things out. God is pulling some things together. I know the doctor said this, but what does God say? I know that you've received news and stuff don't seem to be adding up, and it seems like your world is being shook. I just want to help you through it this morning and just let you know that God is working some things out, that God hasn't missed a beat, that God's purpose and his plan of action is still pivotal in the life of the believer. I know it seems as if the enemy has gotten a stronghold. I know it seems as if the enemy has got a strong foot in, and it seems as if he just won't let you go. But I declare to you this morning, as sure as I stand here, that my God is able and my God is willing, if you would but just trust him. Moses is in Midian. He's at this desert. Moses brought the sheep to this mountain. Later, this mountain, we understand, is called Mount Sinai. The name Herod, which is another name for this mountain, came to Horeb, if you will, which simply means desert or desolation. You see, you understand in the Bible, these names were significant, that God had a plan as he was leading Moses to this particular mountain, the mountain that simply means desolate. He was at this place where Moses receives his BD degree. That's right, his backside of the desert degree. You see, it was Moses, as he come to this mountain, sees a flickering light at the top of the mountain, which beckoned Moses to go and investigate. Moses goes to this mountain. He goes up. He began to investigate, and what Moses sees shook him to the core. Moses saw a bush burning, and it was not uncommon, believe it or not, for a plant like this to spontaneously ignite out in the desert. But nevertheless, two things were distinctive about that bush. Number one, that the angel of the Lord appeared from the midst of this bush. And number two, as the bush burned, it was not consumed. Now, I don't know about you, family of God, but I love when I think about this bush that Moses was taking a look at, that God drew Moses to this bush with a purpose to show Moses some things about who he is. Though the bush burned with fire, the Bible tells us that it did not crackle or diminish. No leaf curled, no branches was charred. It burned, but it was not consumed. It was just burning, but it wasn't being consumed. I don't know about you, if you ever experienced something burning, but you know that when fire gets a hold of it, there is nothing left of it. But this bush in particular, while it was burning, it was not consumed. And this drew Moses a little bit more closer. Moses was a little bit more suspicious about this bush. This bush drew Moses in for a closer examination. How is it that this bush can burn and be on fire? I know what fire can do. I know the power of fire. I felt the heat of fire. And how is it that this bush can burn and not be consumed? Moses had to get a little bit closer. Moses was drawn a little bit closer, had to examine this thing. Some think that this burning bush to be a symbol of Israel, or the people of God more generally, you know, afflicted but not destroyed, gone through some fire but not being burned, the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. I see three in there. I put three in, but why am I seeing four? And they're walking around in fire and not being burned. I don't know who you are, who I'm talking to this morning, but I just want to give you these words of encouragement, that just because you're in the fire don't necessarily mean you will be burned. Moses at the bush. We can also look at this here bush story as this bush was burning. It was a picture of the cross. The Hebrew word used to describe this bush, it comes from the word to stick or to prick.
this meaning is of this thorn bush or this a bramble, if you will. We can think of the cross of Christ, the thorns that was placed on Jesus' head as Jesus endured the fires of judgment and yet was not consumed by them. To be reminded of the cross when we consider this burning bush. So that which Moses saw was nothing normal. Not a created angel that came down, for he is called Jehovah, the text tells us. Exodus 3:4. And as the most expressive attributes of the Godhead apply to him, yet he is an angel, a messenger, and whom was the name of God. And who is this but Jesus? You know, I love how Jesus shows up in different forms and different places just to let his people know, I have not forgotten about you. I have not left you to your demise. That I am a God. That I will not put you in a place or in a situation that I cannot bring you out of. I am that God. I'm the one God, the true God. And Moses had to come to an understanding for himself of who this is, who this God is. I've heard about this God. I've heard people talk about this God, but I've never experienced him for myself. And it's time, family of God, that we all walk away from this experience declaring, I know my Redeemer lives. I know the God in which I serve. It's time for us to walk away from this experience declaring that my God is able to keep me from falling, that he that shall come and will not tarry. It's time for the people of God to start living like the people of God, to start trusting like a people of God, and start moving like a people of God. It is time for the people of God to stand up like a people of God, like they serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. It's high time, family, to move like we understand who we serve, and start walking with authority like we serve a God that created all of this. It's high time, people of God, that we stop walking in the background and start living out the calling that God has placed on us. Called to keep moving forward. God called Moses not to stay in one spot, not to stay in one location, not to stay in one place, but there is so much that I have for you to do, and I can't do it without you. Now, I understand, family of God, that we serve a God that is able to do all things but fail. We talk about it, we preach about it, and we believe that God can do all things. But let me help you out with this one right here. God needs you. God needs you to be a mouthpiece. God needs you to be legs and arms. God needs you to go and tell somebody about this good news. So while God don't need you, God said, I would rather for you to be on my side than the other side. Because there is no other side outside of his side. If you follow me, understand me, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Not only that, but as we look at the text, as we look a little further, we see here Moses didn't see anyone in the burning bush. But yet God, in the presence of the angel of the Lord, was there calling out to Moses from the midst of this burning bush. Now here it is, family of God. This is the first time that Moses ever have an encounter with God, and God calls him by name. Oh, y'all, that's not a shout for you right there. That's not a shout for you. I don't know if you understand what Moses is experiencing right here. But Moses has never had an encounter with God, never experienced God, knew that there was something going on. I can't quite put my finger on it, but yet this Jehovah, yet the Lord of hosts, yet the King of kings, call me out by name, and here it is, family. Didn't call him not once, but called him twice. Moses, Moses. If you understand God's first words to Moses, he calls him by name. This shows that even though Moses was now an obscure, forgotten shepherd on the backside of the desert, God knew who he was, and God was important, and Moses was important to God. Moses was important enough to God for God to show up and meet him in a desolate place. Maybe, just maybe, you've never been in a desolate place, but Moses here, we see here this double call, Moses, which implies importance and urgency, as when God called Abraham, Saul, Samuel, Martha, when God calls a double call, that's a means of importance. In other words, God has something intentional, a special just for Moses. So this isn't some sipping tea. This isn't some lay down stuff that we're dealing with. But God said, I have something that Moses, only you can do. This wasn't for everybody. You have to understand, when we look around in the church today after COVID have shut us down and now we're trying to reopen, and it's not just us, but it's all throughout Christendom where churches are struggling. You have some that say they look like the house is packed, but the commitment isn't there. And if I could just help you out right here, you know, heaven is going to be full of committed folk. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying here. I just need you to understand that heaven is not going to just be full for the sake of being full. But heaven will be full with committed folk. Folk that don't mind showing up. Folk that don't mind stepping out. Folk that don't mind putting their self on the back burner. Folk that don't mind going the extra mile. We're talking about folk that don't mind showing up. Heaven will be populated with committed folk, dedicated folk. Moses had to come to the realization that this right here call upon my life is not an ordinary call. You see, God told Moses to do two things to show special honor to this place because of the immediate presence of God. He tells Moses, number one, he told Moses to keep your distance. Don't draw no close. Moses was about to get knee deep in trouble. He saw the bush and he said, it's burning, but it's not being consumed. Maybe I can touch it. No, Moses. Don't come no close. Don't come any closer, because you don't really realize the danger that you're in. You're not understanding, Moses, that while the bush is burning and is not being consumed, the only reason why it's not being consumed is because it is I, Moses. Not only that, Moses, but I need you to do something else. I need you to take off your sandals. God commanded Moses to show reverence. Take off your shoes, because the place in which you are standing is holy ground. Don't come closely. Literally has a sense of stop coming close. Stop right there, Moses. Moses was on his way for an up close examination of that bush when God had to stop him in his tracks. That's commitment. Moses, I need to know who this God. I need to know this. I need to see you, Jesus. Take your sandals off. Removing the sandals shows an appropriate humility. Moses, I need you to do that. God reveals himself to Moses by declaring his relationship with the patriarchs. This reminded Moses that God is the God of the covenant, and his covenant with Israel was still valid and important. This wasn't a new God meeting Moses, but the same God that dealt with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same God that dealt with Moses on Mount Sinai. No, no, this isn't some new on the scene, Rudy Pooh God that just show up out of nowhere, but this was the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that spoke all of this into existence, has now showed up on the spot to let Moses know that there is a purpose for your life. God reveals himself to Moses more intimately than he had to any of the other patriarchs. Yet, and all began with God reminding Moses of the bridge of covenant that they met on. You see, Moses might have thought that God neglected or maybe even forgot his covenant in the 400 years of Israel's slavery in Egypt. But since the time of the patriarch, God was at work during that time, preserving and multiplying the nations. Hence, Moses being placed in a basket. Moses was placed in a basket because Pharaoh feared that the children of Israel, they are growing in such numbers. They are populating so fast. If we're not careful, they'll overtake us. So maybe we should try to cut them off a little bit and start killing them off a little bit. But what they didn't understand, what the Hebrews didn't understand, was that God was working in the midst of all of that. God was building a nation while they were in slavery. God was building a plan while they were in bondage. Oh, I hope you're following me. God was setting up some things while they were experiencing the taskmaster's whip. God was setting up some things while the divorce was taking place. God was setting up some stuff while the job was talking about you. God was setting some things up while everybody was running your name up and down the streets. God was moving and working on your behalf while all the other stuff was unfolding, while the haters was hating, and while people were talking, and while backbiters were backing. God was moving. God was setting some things up. Moses, while you're in Egypt, while they were in Egypt, the Egyptians, while the children of Hebrew or the children of Israel was in Egypt, while they were in bondage, God was working on their behalf. I just want somebody to understand today that while you're going through it, God is still working on your behalf. That while you're trying to figure it out, God is already working it out. He never will leave you, nor will he forsake you. He's always moving and always setting it up. That's the kind of God that we serve. One that will not leave you by yourself. He said, if I bring you to it, I'll bring you through it. I will not put more on you than you can handle. Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God is the author and finisher of our faith. So I trust him when I can't trace him. I believe him when believing becomes unbearable. I've gotten to the place in my Christian experience where I've learned how to hold on, even if I gotta holler sometimes late at night trying to figure it out, late at night trying to make sense of it all. I don't know why stuff happened the way that they happened, but I've come to learn that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could think of or even imagine. How do I know? Because the word of God tells me so. I've learned over the years, come what may, my God is faithful. So while the children of Israel was going through it, while the Egyptians was in panic mode, looking at the children of Israel, talking about they may outnumber us, they're going to outgrow us, and maybe, just maybe, they're going to take over. We need to shut it down. God was already ahead of the game. God was already ahead of them. Set up a situation where Moses would be set free, where they would be raising their overtime. The same person that they were trying to kill off was the same one that they fed their food. the same one that he learned in their schools. You have to understand, God don't play. God will set you right in the middle of the enemy camp, and the enemy will think you are the best thing that happened since Kool-Aid. Come on, can I get some help in here this morning? God was working. God is moving. God was setting that thing up. Moses, I need you to understand that I am the same God. I'm not some new God on the scene. I'm not just some crackerjack God that just jumped out of a box somewhere. No. I'm not a figment of your imagination. I'm not made up. I'm real. I'm real to you. I'm real with you today. So Moses had hid his face, for he was afraid to even look upon God. God told Moses to do what was appropriate for a creature to do before his creator. Reverence yourself. I need you to recognize, Moses. I need you to recognize that you're in the presence of holiness. I need you to understand that, Moses, that you're in the presence of an amazing God. I'm the one that spoke all of this into existence. Moses, I need you to understand that I am the one that kept you safe in that basket. I'm the one, Moses, that put it in your mama's head to put you in a basket and send your sister down the river to watch you. I'm the one, Moses, that was setting it up. That's why I thank God for being God, that even in the midst of all the craziness, God will still show you favor. God will still show you prosperity. And I'm not a prosperity preacher, but I am a servant of the God who owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I know that God will give me what I need when I need it. And the reality is, even when I don't need stuff, God still show up. Anybody ever had God just do something for you and you didn't even ask for it? And you're like, wow, they really, man, that was all right. And I know where my help comes from. While I appreciate, man, thank you for loving on my wife, but I thank God even more so because he placed it in your heart and you were obedient to the call, because you could have very well done something different. As most of us do sometimes. You know, I got to throw that in there. I throw my jab. You know, I do a little jab every now and again because I need you to know I love you, but I got to let you know we don't always do what God calls us to do. And I'm not just saying that because I have the mic. I'm saying it while I have the mic, but I need you to know that sometimes I have to stop and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I know, Lord, I should not have said that. I should not have done that. I know, God, I messed it up. But, Lord, could you fix it for me? And he steps in every time. Let me move on here because I need you to understand here that as God called Moses a little bit closer, take off his shoes. I need you to know you're on holy ground. Moses hid his face, showing reverence to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, in his years in the wilderness in Midian, Moses must have often remembered how he murdered an Egyptian and how proud he was to think he could deliver Israel himself. Moses might have remembered 1,000 sins, both real and even imagined. But now when God appeared, he's responded in a way completely different than he might have 40 years before. See, that's why God has to wait sometimes for us to get older. You wish you could have done it in your youth and had all the stuff when you were younger. But the reality is, if you had it when you were younger, you would have messed it up. God could not have called Moses in the first 40. God could not have called Moses in the second 40. Moses had to go through some things. What am I saying, family? We got to go through some things. We've got to experience some things. There are some hard lessons that we have to learn. I know it. I've learned it all, Jesus. No, you haven't. Because there are some things that you don't know you would do if you were placed in the right situation. There was some stuff that you would get caught up in if God would allow that thing to show up on your doorstep. So God have to keep you in the first 40. sometimes in the second 40 to get you ready for the fourth or the third 40 because you're not ready. I had to learn that. I said, Lord, I'm ready. He said, no, you're not. I said, yes, I am. I'm ready. It wasn't until I jumped in the water when I realized I wasn't ready. I've told that testimony before. I'm not going to tell it again. I thought I was ready. The Lord had to remind me, you're not ready. Moses wasn't ready. Moses had to go through some things. And so here it is. Moses answers God. And God replies to Moses' answer. Moses asked the question, who should I say sent me? Who should I tell them sent me? Jesus simply says, God simply says, tell them that I am, that I am. Who am I? He reminded Moses, I will always be there with you. I will always walk with you. Moses said to God, indeed, who, when I come to the children, who should I say? Tell them that I am sent you. God of your fathers has sent you to me. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Tell them I am that I am. Thus says to their children, I will never leave you. I am is what I am. I mean, how else can you describe a creator like God? I can't say he's Jeffrey over on 34th Street. I can't say that he's just a God on a mountain. That could be any God. I can't say he's Bobby's God. You know, the God that Bobby always talk about. No. That you know, Bobby, who is Bobby's God? So Moses, I need you to simply tell the children that I am. I am that I am. I am water when you're thirsty. I am. I'm bread when you're hungry. I am. I'm clothes when you're clothed, when you need clothing. I'm a friend to the friendless. I'm a mother to the motherless, and I'm a father to the. I am your redeemer. I am the way maker. Well, who should I say it? Just say, I am. I am the Prince of Peace, a mighty God, counselor. I am the wonder working power of the Holy Ghost. I am he that always was and always will be, and there never will be a time when I'm not. I am always ever present. I'm here. I'm there. I'm everywhere all at the same time. I am that I am. Tell them that, Moses. Abraham is the encounter which Melchizedek called on God Most High. Abraham later encountered the Almighty God. Abraham came to know the Lord as everlasting God. The Lord will provide. Hagar encountered, you are the God who sees. Jacob and Eli see God as El Elyon. And so if Moses were to come to the elders of Israel as a representative of God, it will be logical for them to wonder, by what name did he reveal himself to you? So God tells him, I am who I am. That's all I got, Moses. Take that back to them. I am the God of love. I am the one who have come to set the captives free. I am everything that you need. And more. So I don't know what you're waiting on. The call to keep moving has already been extended. Moses, I need you to go. You've been called. Now I need you to keep moving. Don't stay right here. I know you are overwhelmed by the fire. I know you're overwhelmed by the excitement. I know this here has thrilled you to the bones. But I need you to keep it moving. I need you to go and tell the people what I have said unto you. It's time. It's time for you to be set free. Now, I don't know about you, if you've ever been in bondage, ever been held down, ever been locked down, ever been shut out, when the keys are jangling. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. When the keys are jangling and you hear the keys coming down the corridor and your name is being called, Fields, Fields. Oh, hallelujah. It's time for the captives to be set free. Keep moving in Christ's name. Keep moving in Jesus' name. You've been called. Call to go and tell somebody else. Call to raise yourself up and go and let somebody know about a soon coming Savior. The calling is there. I Am has said it. This is a divine calling on your life. This is a divine calling on your life. I'm about to finish up right here. He says that I Am. God tells Moses what to say to the people. Moses go and he tell them. And the Bible lets us know that they took heed to Moses' words. Here it is, family of God. The children of Israel could have very well stayed in their current situation. They could have looked at Moses and they could have said, Moses, you lost your mind. I'm sure Moses told them about this bush. I mean, Moses didn't just come back down the mountain and go to the children of Israel and say, God told me to tell you it's time to go. I'm sure if I'm thinking logically and thinking realistically, I know if I was to come to this church here or come to you, my brother, and say, God told me you want some information. You need a little background. I need to make sure you ain't on something. I need to make sure that your faculties are all together. And so I'm quite sure Moses told them about the bush. Now, I'm just putting my interpretation on this. And I can imagine that as Moses was explaining to them, as it is explained to us in the Word of God, you mean a bush was burning, Moses, and it wasn't consumed? Come on, Moses. And then you're going to tell me that the angel of the Lord spoke to you from this bush and told you to tell me that I need to follow you. Really, Moses? Are you really suggesting that you want me to pack my family up and follow you because you saw a bush on fire that wasn't consumed? But here it is right here. Moses, if this is true, surely you got a name for me. Oh, I have a name for you. His name is I Am. I Am is his name. You see, this is my name for you, Pastor Fields or Jonathan, which have no weight or no bearing. But I Am suggests that God is capable, that God is able. I Am tells them that this is the God that we've been waiting for. Why else would the children of Israel in mass numbers shut down branches and shut down temples and shut down homes? It's not because Pharaoh said so. Let me tell you something. God was being merciful with Pharaoh. I need to make the record straight, because God could have very well went in and took what belonged to him, but God was showing mercy even to the merciless, even to the one that showed no mercy. God still shows mercy. What does that say about us and how we ought to treat one another? Even God showed Pharaoh love and gave him an opportunity to be saved. But Moses gave Pharaoh an opportunity, but Pharaoh chose his fate. So I will go and tell and let them know that you said. Moses, go and let them know. The children of Israel understood. Pharaoh and all the different plagues finally comes to the understanding. And if I can just spin it, I'm about to wrap this up. But I need you to understand that God was moving in every crack, every corner, every step of that whole process. Even while the plagues were going on, God was showing the children of Israel, I am. The first plague, I am. The second plague, I am. And by the time he got down to the 10th, which is really a curse, I am. I get it now. I get it now. Moses, keep moving. Tabernacle of Praise, you've been called. Not called to stay in one spot, but called to keep it moving. I don't know who you are, but somebody needs to move today. Somebody has a calling, and I'm not just talking a move from the back to the front. I'm talking about a move with to a closer commitment and relationship with God. Because we can all move around in this space. We can all play musical chairs. But when we're talking about the call to move, we're talking about a call to move closer to Christ, a more committed connection and relationship with Christ. It's not enough to just show up. It's not enough. It's time to make a commitment. We're getting ready for a baptism. Sister Mary, you've already declared you're ready to be baptized, and we're moving in that area. We want to make sure that we have, if there are others that's ready to make that commitment to Christ by going down in the watery grave of baptism, I'm just asking if you would meet me down front. Is there one? Is there one that says, I want to be baptized and be a part of this family, this church? Is there one? As our praise team come and take the stand, I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give you that opportunity. Because we serve a God that faileth not. A God that understands us better than we understand ourselves. Is there one? Amen. Amen. Let us stand as we pray. Loving Lord, our Father and God, you are truly an amazing God. Without you, we can do nothing, but with you, we're more than conquerors. We ask you to lead us in the way that we should go. Forgive us even now of our sins. You see your people. You know our hearts. Do what you do, and we will be ever so mindful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Please remain standing as we sing our closing hymn. It should be on the screen. Amen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen, amen. We'll sing the first and second verse, and then we'll go to the refrain, and then we'll sing the third and fourth, and then we'll sing the refrain out. Amen. Is it turned up? Amen. 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 My hope is built.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his loving face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Verse 3, his oath is covenant, his blood supports me in the whelming flood. When all around my all gives way, he then is all my open stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Clad in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give the man of God another hand praise for that beautiful message today. And we just want to say that you came on the right Sabbath. Although we want you to come every Sabbath, amen, because we had the spiritual food, now we're going to have the physical food, amen. So we invite you to stay by and fellowship and just give a word of encouragement to our First Lady, amen. Amen. Just let her know how much you appreciate her. Now let us bow our heads. Father God, truly our hearts have been blessed today. Lord, we're thankful that you are the Almighty God. You are the great I Am, Lord. Whatever we're going through, Lord, we know that you are a shelter in a time of storm. We know that you are a bridge over troubled waters, Lord. We know that you are the great provider. So, Lord, we pray now. May the Lord of God of heaven and earth be with us, Lord. Keep us by your keeping power. Bless the food that we're about to receive. We pray that it will be nourishing to our bodies. For Christ's sake, we pray. And the church said together, amen and amen.